5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Otaku Outcast. As always, it's me, Josie, I'm here with Alex, and in case you haven't noticed, we're in a different location this week.
Yep.
Usually, you know, we record in our all-white studio, but to be completely honest with you, that's just kind of expensive. And as nice as the studio is, it does present a number of problems. One, like I said, it's kind of expensive. The second one, because that studio comes with a host, our audio files and our video files, it take like a week for us to get our hands on, because the host is so busy and they have so many other podcasts that they gotta do all the audio and video for. So, as the main reason why our episodes are taking so long to come out.
Yep. And then also, I'm a... What's the word? A beginner editor. So, I do all the editing. And, you know, I'm learning as I go. But it does take me a little bit to edit the videos. Although, the more I learn, the better I'll get. The faster we'll get episodes out. So.
Yeah, so... these next few episodes, we're probably going to be switching from location. So one episode will be here, another episode will be in the studio where we've been recording these past couple episodes.
Yep.
So bear with us. We're trying to save money, you know, we're buying our own equipment, we're trying to get our own place where we're not renting a studio. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys haven't noticed, but the podcast isn't monetized, we don't got any ads on it. Maybe on YouTube, just a regular YouTube ad, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, maybe.
But, yeah, I think it's been like 2 years since we've run an ad on any of our episodes. So, yeah, we're not making any money.
Yeah, give us time. We're working our way up there, saving money, buying stuff, a little here and there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we might be changing places, but at least the content will hopefully be getting like more visually pleasing. So all the gear we're getting and stuff. So
little by little. Bear with us.
We'll get there.
The positive is probably going to be getting episodes more more often. No, not going to have to wait another month.
Yeah.
Hopefully, scratch that. It's probably been like...
Yeah, and there's no wood right. Oh, well, the table's gone.
It's probably been like another month since the last episode we did. So,
maybe,
by the time this episode comes out, it might be a month since.
That's true. Maybe. Hopefully not.
But
in a couple days.
Hey, we're here, and also we're actually gonna talk about anime this time. Last episode we already talked about anything.
Yeah, we went a little bit off the rails there. Huh?
Yeah, but it's okay. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. We're here to talk about the spring season of 2023.
I think it's the winter, no?
Oh yes. Scratch that, winter.
We're getting into spring, though, if any of you think about it.
Sorry. Attack on Titan just came out a couple days ago. I'm already in spring mode. I'm ready for spring season. Mm-hmm. Probably the season I'm most excited about this year.
Same here.
But yeah, let's get through winter first.
Yeah. I know it's kind of over already, but we're going to give our thoughts on some of the animes that came out.
Honestly, it might be a good thing, because... we've actually seen about 9 episodes of every show, so we'll, instead of giving our predictions, it's an actual thoughts and what we thought of season so far.
But what do you think about the winter season? Like, was it good? Was it maybe just like a little chill before the spring?
I feel like it was necessary to me. Mm-hmm. Like a nice little calm before the storm between what was fall last season, which was crazy, Chainsaw Man,
Bocchi,
and next season, which is gonna have even more crazy good anime. Like I'm already dying to see the hour long, first episode of Oshinoko. I've had a couple of people tell me that this is probably the worst season in years. I feel like that's a little exaggerated. I feel like it's a little harsh.
Yeah.
I had quite a few notable anime. We're not going to talk about every anime that came out this season.
A little bit more on the ones that were more popular, right? At least.
Yeah, well, the ones we have the most to say.
Yeah, that's true.
A few anime that we're not going to talk about. But we're pretty popular. Like Buddy Daddies. Mm-hmm. You know, like yeah, riding off the coattails of Anya. You know, another cute little girl. Ayakashi Triangle, which I actually was kind of enjoying. Mm-hmm. It's like pretty lewd and stuff.
But is that why you like
it? It got hit. Maybe not. I found that a little interesting because it's a gender bender. I've never watched the gender. There's two gender bender animes out this season, actually. Onimai? Gender bender is where the main character changes sex. What? For like whatever reason. So there's two gender benders out this season. Ayakashi Triangle and Onimai? I'm Not Your Little Sister.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I've heard of that one. I didn't see it, but I have seen TikToks.
So a genderbender is literally your main character switches sex for magic spell or whatever, I don't... They're not trans because they didn't willingly switch
sex. It was unwillingly.
No, it's like... And Ayakashi Triangle, our main character, gets turned into a girl because of a curse. From a... yokai.
I mean I've heard of the other one.
Onimai, I'm not sure why Onimai he gets turned into a girl. I haven't seen Onimai. I've seen like little clips of it and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen little clips of it.
But I mean, again, like I've never seen a gender bender, so I said why not? So I gave Ayakashi Triangle a try.
Yeah.
Because apparently the manga is pretty popular. And it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the first four episodes, then got hit by COVID.
Oh.
Got hit by COVID, unfortunately, as many other anime have suffered. The next one, Nier Automata, also got hit by COVID after four episodes.
For real?
Production got stopped.
I know Uncle from Another World had it too, but that was like last... season.
Like
I think
two
it was,
seasons
it was
ago.
Like a long summer season?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if they're finished with the season yet. I know on Netflix they're not... I think it stops at 8 episodes or 9. They're supposed to be 12 or 13. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, because...
It's affecting all these enemies. And it makes sense. It's winter, so... It's the time people get sick.
Bungo Stray Dog Season 4 came out. I haven't even seen Season 1. I've heard so many good things about it.
I don't
have the time.
Yeah.
Misfit of Demon King Academy Season 2.
That one I gotta get on it. I watched the first season and I liked it. So
the pacing's all over the fucking place, bro. Like, fuck. Like, halfway through the second season, I've gotten lost so many times.
Yeah.
It's really hard to keep track. The pacing of that show is fucking insane. Bofuri Season 2. Inspector. Season 2.
Oh, I've seen I started watching the first season, but then I can't remember what happened, then I stopped watching it. But
yeah.
It seemed pretty good.
As another anime, I've fallen victim to YouTube, because I spend most of my time on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly getting recommended clips from YouTube. So I've seen some shows via YouTube. So like, just like scenes. Inspector, I feel like I've seen most of season 1 through YouTube clips.
Through YouTube, yeah. I think it's pretty good.
And then, of course, Tokyo Revengers Season 2.
I have not seen a single episode of the second season.
I have. I saw the first few. Typical Tokyo Revengers.
Yep.
Pretty good. I haven't kept up with it. I read the manga.
It didn't finish? Not so long
ago? Yeah, it did. I don't know, it's just when a manga gets a bad ending, you know, it just like it sucks the life out of you and it doesn't it's a little frustrating.
I get that.
But how about we start off with an anime that I had to ask you to watch.
If y'all remember last episode, I said I just wasn't into it.
Yeah.
I gave up after maybe an episode or two, and Josie convinced me to watch it again, and I actually enjoyed it. I gave it a try, and I actually sat there and watched more than just the first and second episode, and it was actually pretty enjoyable. I still hate that tooth, the fang.
Yeah.
I still don't like that. I felt like every time I saw it, I was like, oh, God. I just don't like it. I'm sorry. I just don't like it. now I understand that, yeah, he does see her as a girl, but I guess he's just, like, confused about it and stuff like that. As we find out later, it seems like they both have feelings for each other.
If you haven't, if you can't tell what we're talking about Tomo-chan is a girl.
Oh, my bad. I forgot to mention the name. But yeah, Tomo-chan is a girl. It's going, like, I thought it was just going to be, like, a lot of misunderstandings and, like, oh, he doesn't, like, notice me. But they both like each other. They're just shy. I know she's more on the aggressive side, right? Like, well, not aggressive, but, like, she's going for it. And then Junichiro is kind of confused, doesn't really know, like, what he's feeling, stuff like that.
I disagree. I think really? He does know exactly what's going on.
Why so?
Well, they're going pretty fast, honestly. Carol and
Misuzu or something like that. Is it?
No. I'm not talking about.
You'll need to turn off airplane mode.
Not bad. Like airplane mode.
And what's his face? Senpai. Blonde boy.
Ah,
I can't remember his name right now.
I'm
totally blanking out. But
Kyosuke? I think so.
I don't think that doesn't sound right to me.
No.
But point being, they just confessed to each other, right? And from what I remember in the manga, that happened way near the end of the manga.
Wait. Who are we talking about? The main character?
No, Carol. Carol, blonde girl, uh-huh. And the blonde boy.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, they are a couple, no?
Well, now they are, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they just confessed to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But from what I remember in the manga, that happens to, like, way near the end. So I'm a little scared that they're just gonna, like...
Original ending, or what?
Not original ending, but they're just gonna, like, cut out most of the story and just get to the end.
Really?
I'm a little scared. Maybe I'm just remembering wrong, and this whole scene with Carol happens early on. But June, the reason why he can't confess to Tomo is because he feels like he's not her equal.
Oh, yeah, I do remember now. He kind of sees her as being stronger, right?
Yeah. Physically stronger, he knows he's physically stronger than her, but, like, as a person and, like, and personality, like, he still looks up to her. He still, like, looks at her back in awe. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to be someone who's always, like, watching her from behind. He wants to be a person who can stand
by
her side.
Yeah.
And that's why he can't confess, because he feels like he hasn't grown enough. Which I found really mature, because like you said, like, most people feel like it's just like, oh, misunderstandings, oh, he's just too shy, oh, he doesn't actually see her as a girl. It's a little bit deeper. I really like the story. It's like...
Yeah, I layered. Like the first couple episodes, for sure, I was like, oh, he doesn't see her as a girl. I watched the first episode, I don't know if it was the... I got lost in the language, or maybe I wasn't paying attention. But I definitely did think that he wasn't going to see her as a girl, but... Yeah, eventually, yeah, he does. It's just that, yeah, like he said.
Yeah, to me, the show is carried by the side characters. Especially
so.
Misuzu. Like, Misuzu is the best girl.
Yeah.
Gundo, she... She's got a nasty personality, but...
Yep, she's like one of those masterminds behind the scenes, trying to make stuff work her way.
Did you understand what I meant about... I saw Chica was, like, inspired by Carol.
No, Carol's actually
you
didn't.
Still don't see
no,
it?
No, I still don't see it.
Carol's fucking crazy.
Because I felt like Carol was more involved in the relationship than Chica. Well, Chica didn't even know, so...
No. I'm not basing it off of their relationship to the main character. I'm basing it off, like, her personality. Like, how chaotic Chica is
to the story. Yeah.
That's what Carol represents. Because Carol's...
Know.
Especially in the manga, like, Carol's just up to no good all the time.
Well, she's up to no good in this one, though.
Yeah, she is.
She helps Misuzu, like, plan out, like, oh, okay, you do this, you do that. Let's dress you up. Let's do this and that. Yeah, I see that.
I don't know. I that little fang really threw you off, bro.
Yeah, that fang, yeah. But then again, I do not like the character design. I like the manga ones better.
Oh, you've seen the manga
ones? Yeah, I've seen them. I saw it on the cover of our last episode.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, well, that Tomo looks way better than the anime Tomo. It's just character design. Like, I don't know. Does she have a fang in the manga?
Yeah.
Oh, she does?
She has a fang in the cover for our last episode, I think.
Really? Actually,
yeah.
I don't remember now.
But you're right. I do think they look better in the manga.
I think they just look like their heads are too, like, flat. Like, it's weird. I also see that with the one who's with Carol. The one who likes... The one that we tried to... Well, I tried to pronounce his name, but I don't think it was right. That guy, I feel like he has the same type of, like, head as Tomo. And I don't like that design. I don't know why. It's just... For me, it's the shape of the head. It's just... It throws me off. And the fang throws me off. Everyone else is fine. Like, their character design, I don't mind it. It's just Tomo and that guy. Senpai, I don't know what's his name.
Yeah, character design does have a lot. I mean... When you first are introduced to a show, whether it's through like a trailer or a promotional image, the first thing that always comes out to you is character design.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Tomo, I really like the show. I really like the series, the manga as well.
Yeah.
But Tomo was never like the reason I liked it. It's always been the side characters, cast, the supporting cast. It's always been my favorite part of the show. Because, they're actually well developed. Like every character gets developed along with Tomo. It's not like most anime or most romance anime where like every character will get an arc.
Yeah.
Right, and then like we gotta wait for a specific character to go through a character arc and grow, and then once they're done, then the next character will get an arc.
Yeah.
And I feel like in Tomo-chan, they all constantly growing at the same time.
Yeah, I see that. It's very enjoyable. Like, I like it. Like, I know I gave a pretty bad review last time. but I'm here to say that it's a good one. And if you haven't given it a try, or if you were like me, that just got through the one episode and just gave up on it, give it another try. I would say, like, after the third episode, I got really hooked.
Three episodes?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to follow your rule of watching, what is it, 3 or 4 episodes?
You got to watch an hour.
Got to watch an hour. You know, there's a reason why he does it, and I could totally see it with this one. Pretty good.
Well, let's stick to rom-coms. Well, I guess this isn't a rom-com because this isn't very funny. But Ice Guy and His Cool Female Colleague.
That one's nice.
I really like it because it's an adult romance. Like, we're out of fucking high school.
What is a few,
We're out of high school. None of these stupid ass little misunderstandings. If a character wants to know something, they ask the other person like a mature adult. I mean, yeah, man, you cut a lot of fat with these types of stories. I find it really sweet. I think it's nice.
Yeah,
I think it's
pretty wholesome.
It is a little wholesome.
I feel like this season kind of had quite a bit of wholesome, except for a few.
A few degenerates.
Yeah. You know who you are.
But, yeah, I mean, they're mature. This is the first anime I've seen where, like... Well, I was going to say where they're both, like, cool. The cool archetype characters.
Yeah.
But... Nice guy's not really cool. He's like constantly like
getting excited,
excited in his office. But it is nice because I don't know, like it's refreshing. Like I feel like we need more adult romance anime.
Yeah.
Like I get it. I get the whole people want to relive their high school years. Not everybody wants to
live. There's way too many high school setting animes.
There really is.
If you get a change for once.
And like I said, like this is just like I feel like it's a fresh breath there because there's nothing else like it airing this.
maybe I shouldn't say there's nothing else like it this season, but there's hardly any other shows out there.
Rom-coms, I would say, no? What's the other ones?
Well, there's another romance series that's kind of like this. Angel Next Door Exposed Me Rotten. I feel like they're both in the same lane.
They're in college or they're
no, in no, high no. school? They're in high school, but
okay.
Most of the story doesn't take place in high school.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And it's not like your typical, like, oh, does he like me? Does he like me not? Oh, I'm gonna get jealous. Oh, X, Y, and Z misunderstanding happens.
Yeah.
And then instead of asking a question like a mature person, you just jump to conclusions and typical
more,
anime
more
setting.
Responsible people.
But another thing that the ice guy and his cool female colleague does differently, that it seems very realistic. Like,
yeah.
The relationship.
Aside from the magical powers that...
Oh, yeah.
Certain things. I think it was a pretty cool concept. Like,
I think so, too, because it doesn't take anything away from the story. And it's not like... It's not a distraction.
Yeah.
Like you're not watching it and thinking, oh, I need to find out the lore of, like, of, like, his grandma who's a snow woman. Like,
yeah.
I need to know, like, oh, there's going to be a battle. It's not in the middle, like, nah.
Gotta use his powers.
It's just part of the world building, and that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking cool. And like I said, it's realistic because we're on episode 9, and they've been co-workers for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship is, like, naturally grown, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, you see them slowly, little by little, growing closer.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's cool. It's cool. It's a little fresh air.
Yeah. Little side note, the character designs in this one is pretty good.
Oh!
I
haven't even gotten to, like, the craziest part. The one little... It's crazy how small details go such a long way.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes.
Yeah.
The eyes. The way they rotoscope the eyes.
Uh-huh.
I've said it plenty of times what rotoscope is, but if you don't know what rotoscoping is when it's a technique in animation where you get like a glass,
mm-hmm.
you put glass, and then you video. It doesn't even have to be glass, right? You put a surface,
mm-hmm.
and then you project a video on it, right? And then while you're projecting the video on the surface, you trace it. Frame by frame. So that way, let's say, you know, we're projecting a fight scene, right? And people are punching. What they'll do is they'll go frame by frame,
mm-hmm.
framing it.
Yeah.
So that way, when they animate it, it's fluid and it looks real, super realistic. And they just draw over it.
Yeah.
And so in Ice Guy and his cool female colleague, they do that with the eyes. So what they'll do is they'll get a close-up video of someone literally just, like, looking into the camera. And then the small little details of your eyes. Because whenever you're looking at someone, like, I'm making eye contact with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my eyes will move as I scan your face, right?
Yeah.
Like, little.
You see a jump.
Like, you see my pupils move a little bit.
Yeah.
And they put that into the anime, and it makes it look super realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first scene, close-up of Fuyutsuki, the female lead. Like, you see a close-up, and, like, her whole face takes up the whole screen, and then you just see her eyes moving. I was like, oh, shit. It felt like she was looking at me. It threw me off. I find it super fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's just, like, one small little detail that I feel like if every anime did that,
mm-hmm.
it'd make it look way more realistic. I don't know. It's fucking cool.
Do you think it takes more time to do that?
Probably. But, honestly... I don't think it does take long, because you'd only have to do it once. And then you just reuse that animation every time. You wouldn't be able to tell.
That's true.
I think that's what they do. I haven't really paid attention to the movement of the pupils.
Yeah.
But I feel like they just rotoscoped it one time, and they just reused that same image.
Yeah. You gotta try different patterns, though, right?
Let's just reverse it. But, I mean... Those are cool little animation techniques that I really appreciate, at least. Maybe to some people, that's just like whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like that goes a long way.
Yeah, that's true. It's pretty nice, though. Maybe they'll use it. I mean, there'll be the... What's the word? Pioneers for it?
Hopefully.
Get it into more animes. Who knows?
Hopefully.
Especially if it's easier and, you know, doesn't take too much time. Yeah, but speaking of rom-coms, what is it called? Damn, I'm already blanking out. Koopa
Wanted Me to Be Invisible.
There you go. That one is really nice. That's another wholesome one for me.
It is.
If you haven't seen it, it's about this guy who's kind of introverted, and the girl's pretty extroverted, right? And so he just kind of wants to enjoy his youth and just chill, but then she's like all up on him and trying to get his attention and stuff. It's very cute, wholesome. My only complaint is that the character design, I feel like it's...
I don't like his. I definitely don't like his character design. I don't like his face.
So what's wrong with the plain face?
Not that I'm the best looking guy in the world, but it's just his eyes throw me off.
Yeah.
It's literally just his eyes that throw me off. We went from, like, complimenting the eyes in Ice Guy
to talking shit
about Kubo's, but...
It's still a good anime, though. Like, that one, like, the animation isn't bugging much, but I just, I don't know. It kind of reminded me a lot of a Kebi Sailor Uniform. Are they, like, by the same...
I don't even know. It's not the same studio. No.
I feel like there's a lot of similarities to it. Maybe it's just me, though, because I haven't really seen it.
If I'm not wrong, a Kebi Sailor Uniform was done by A1 Studios.
Uh-huh.
I don't think this was A1 Studios.
No. Huh. I don't know, it just gives me that vibe. That's the only thing, but it's pretty wholesome anime. I liked it.
I only saw the first episode.
Uh-huh.
Because I read the manga a while ago. I'm not up to date with it.
Mm-hmm.
I read like maybe like the first 10 chapters.
Are they similar, the manga and the anime?
Yeah, from what I can see, yeah. A pretty faithful adaptation. We've seen this dynamic hundreds of times. We see this dynamic at least once every season.
Yeah.
The introverted person and the extroverted person meeting together. It's a tale as old as time. We see it in anime.
Every single one of them.
We see it in anime, television, Hollywood, everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I like that how they took that concept and tweaked it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's literally, like, when the title's called Kubo Won't Let Me Be Invisible,
mm-hmm.
they mean that literally, because nobody can see this guy. This guy is, it's like...
Maybe never existed.
Can you imagine being so, like... What I was about to say is kind of fucked up, but... Like, can you imagine being so insignificant that nobody notices your presence?
Yeah.
That's what the main character of Kubo Won't Let Me Be Invisible. Our main protagonist, our male lead, he's so introverted and so shy and quiet, doesn't speak to anybody, that he's practically invisible to everyone. Like, nobody ever notices his presence. Like, he can be standing right next to somebody and they won't even realize him because he's invisible.
Yeah.
And Kubo, our female lead, is the only character who notices him and is constantly trying to, like, get him involved.
Yeah.
I find that really cute.
Like, yeah, it's like she won't let him fade into the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's sweet. I feel like... I enjoyed this one quite a bit.
I like it too. He's literally what every shy person thinks they are. Like, I'm invisible. No one sees me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's a lot more popular than I thought it was going to be. I didn't think that many people were going to like it.
Really? Is this one,
Because I'm
afraid to ask this question. This is on High Dive, right? Or is it on...
Well, I think it's on Crunchyroll.
I don't even remember.
I think it's on Crunchyroll. It might be.
Huh. I feel like... I'm not sure. But,
I'm surprised because...
If it is on Crunchyroll, man, then I don't know what I'm doing with my life now.
No, it's not on Crunchyroll.
It's on High Dive, right?
Yeah, probably.
I feel like, I don't want to drift out of the conversation, but I feel like a lot of the animes that are not on Crunchyroll end up going kind of unnoticed because most people kind of have Crunchyroll. Now, I don't know how much of a hot topic that is, but I feel like...
I mean, you're right. You're literally right. That's all Sony trying to monopolize anime.
Yeah, it's working, though.
It's working.
Because, like, dude, I used to pay for Crunchyroll and Funimation. And they merged already, right? And I don't know why, I just haven't pulled the trigger on getting Night Dive.
I haven't because I don't think it's worth it. Which is kind of hypocritical because I pay for, like, Hulu, and I only watch, like, one show every season on Hulu. But, you know, I got the Disney Plus packs. I got Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
So that's why it makes it kind of worthwhile. Sony, when Sony bought Crunchyroll, we talked about it, about how they want to monopolize anime here in the West. They're pretty much succeeding because, like you said, like, if your anime doesn't get on Netflix...
yeah.
Crunchyroll or maybe Hulu. Like, your show's not gonna do well. Like, yeah. It's just not gonna do well. And we've seen a lot of anime like that. Unless it's already like a well known IP, like Made in Abyss, because Made in Abyss was on High Dive and
I still think did pretty well.
Yeah, I don't think the ratings or the viewership dropped that much.
Mm-hmm.
But like this, like Kubo-san, your boy Kong Ming a few seasons ago, that also didn't do as well because it was on High Dive only.
Hamachi too, because I feel like that one,
Hamachi too,
it was very hard for me to keep up because it's just not, you know, easily.
That's literally the only reason I'm not up to date on Hamachi, because it's not on Crunchyroll. But yeah, I mean, it sucks, but this was Sony's plan all along. And it's fucking working.
It's working. Because I, for whatever reason, I just want to get a High Dive subscription. I've been borrowing someone's account.
I mean, that's what I mean, when Made in Abyss Season 2 came out, I literally waited to like the last 4 episodes of Made in Abyss, and I did the 3 months.
Binge watched it.
I binge watched it, and your boy Kong Ming.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's worth it. Like, if you're willing to go out of your way, maybe sail the high seas. Yeah, check it out. You know.
It's always worth it.
You know.
It's always.
Don't help her. Make him not invisible.
Give it a watch. It's pretty entertaining. It's really fun to watch. It's a cute anime.
Alright. On to our next rom-com, because, fuck, a lot of rom-coms this season. Maybe that's why people don't like this season.
Maybe.
Angel Next Door spoils me rotten. I talked about it a little while ago.
Yeah.
But this one, I've seen this concept before, right?
Popular with the kind of...
Yeah, yet again, the introvert and the extrovert. Where have we seen this before? So the whole premise of this show is that our main guy, he's not very popular. He keeps to himself. He's kind of moody. He only has like a couple friends.
Yeah.
One day he's walking home in the rain and he comes across the most popular girl in school, right?
Yeah.
She's like super popular, super pretty, super smart. Everyone likes her, right? Mm-hmm. He comes across her sitting on a bench in a park crying her eyes out. So he's like, hey, you know, you're going to get sick or whatever. And from there, their relationship, you know, starts developing.
Yeah.
Turns out they're next door neighbors.
Who would have guessed?
And they both live alone.
Mm-hmm.
They both have different reasons for living alone.
Yeah.
Him being that he just pretty independent. I mean, it's not that shocking. A lot of Japanese youths end up being emancipated.
Yeah, but didn't something happen to him in his past? Okay, I don't know if I'm confusing it for the wrong anime, but didn't he move away from something? I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing it, my bad, but I thought I could have sworn it was that one. Maybe it was something similar, because I mean, it's kind of a popular type of archetype,
might be. But you know, so you know, through little interactions, the relationship starts growing, and eventually, you know, she just starts coming over to cook for him every day, things like that, and the relationship just sort of blossoms from that. It's a pretty sweet show. Not any drama at all. Like, there's almost no conflict at all.
Yeah.
These last few episodes, there has been conflict introduced.
Yeah.
via like her backstory and her relationship.
It seems like a pretty sad backstory.
And her relationship with her family. But it's just sweet. Although I've seen a lot of criticisms.
Really?
About this show in particular.
Why is that?
Fantasy fulfilling. That this show is just a fantasy fulfilling for loser guys. That they just want like a beautiful, smart girl to like fall into their lap. And I'm like, isn't that everything you want to see?
Bring a lot of rom-coms up.
Yeah,
like kind of put yourself in their shoes.
One guy in particular was like going on a mini rant on Twitter, one of my mutuals. And yeah, and they're like, this is so unrealistic. This would never happen in real life. And I'm like, buddy, I've seen neighbors fall in love in real life. I've seen it across the street from me. This is not that crazy of a concept.
Yeah.
The fact that they're both teenagers living on their own, probably here in the West, that seems pretty unrealistic. But
very unrealistic.
But in Japan, I mean, like I said, a lot of youths end up getting like emancipated from their parents for whatever reason. I'm using emancipated correctly, right?
Yeah.
I
hope so.
Let me just Google it real quick while I talk.
I'm sure it's like being in the like breaking, like being independent from your parents, no?
Yeah.
Because you get that in a lot of anime. I was just assuming that was just something normal that happens over there. Which, I mean, that's kind of what you're saying, so.
I don't feel like this is real. Like that unrealistic or more unrealistic than another romance anime like Tokinawa. You remember Tokinawa?
Is that one
falling in love with you over the moon or something?
Yeah,
like
over the moon. Yeah,
like that's unrealistic, right?
Yeah,
like you meet a girl one day, you fall in love with her, and then years later she comes to your doorstep and you marry her. Like, I don't know, it's a little crazy.
Yeah. It's anime to begin with, like.
Yeah, I was correct.
Yeah,
I think so.
You're using it right.
Yeah, I was right. I don't find that super unrealistic. Yeah, and they were just bashing on it, like, oh, I'm like, buddy, like, just because you gave up on love, let people enjoy
it. Everyone else has.
It's cute. Not that crazy animation again. It's like a show like this doesn't need it. The character designs are nice. I think they're
pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. I mean, I've enjoyed it too. I think they're pretty nice too.
I mean, I don't got much to say other than it's a nice, cozy show. I mean, if you're feeling lonely, you probably shouldn't watch this one. Probably shouldn't. You should probably stay away from these. You should probably stay away from all four that we've talked about.
I feel like we've been back to back on. Kind of rom-coms, huh?
Well, Valentine's was last month, so...
That's true.
Probably a big reason why there's something...
If you're going to have rom-coms, it's Valentine's Day, is the time to do it.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that. Kind of moving away from that. And now, before we talk about it, I don't know about him, but I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched like two episodes.
Supposedly.
We're only going to bring it up because it's pretty wild. At least the episodes that I've seen. Of course, we're talking about My Life as Inuko-san's Dog. It's about some guy who basically dies and gets reincarnated as a dog, who then Inuko-san, who was his crush, right? High school crush? Or just
a bully, bro.
Oh, okay. But he didn't like her?
I mean, yeah, I think he did like it too.
Anyways, the point is, she finds him in the street, I guess because he got abandoned, a stray dog. And yeah, he kind of lives his life as her dog. I would say it's pretty edgy. It's an edgy, right?
Yeah.
It's an edgy anime. It's pretty wild. I didn't watch past the first episode. They're pretty short episodes too, I think.
I think they're like 12-minute episodes.
12-minute episodes. And it shows a lot.
It's just wrong. So, like, can you imagine, bro, like, you get bullied in high school, like, and you're... Actually, I can't even imagine it, because I wouldn't be in love with my bully. I would never... Like, I don't care how attractive I believe.
Where's Brian? Be. Oh, no, wait. He would call you the masochist.
Yeah, he'd call me masochist.
Okay, never mind. Scratch that.
I'm not a masochist. Yeah, like, it's just, it's a crazy concept because he gets bullied by this girl. The girl treats him like shit. You die. You get reincarnated as a dog. And then you get taken in by said bully. And then she just defiles you.
Like, dude, the things that... Well, I've only seen the first episode. I think it was just the first episode. But I've seen clips of, like, the other little things that she's done. It's just like, dude, like, what is this?
PETA should be called immediately. Like, yeah, like, she takes... this is an anime, an ecchi anime. So can you imagine this girl taking baths with her dog? Can you imagine what scenes you're gonna witness in this anime?
I think it was like one where she was like licking his nose, no?
Or yeah, like, that. Like she just like, oh my gosh, she went to town on like his nose.
Yeah, it was. I was like, oh, dude, no.
Yeah, dude, and then like, or she'll like get him to lick her. Oh, no, dude, it's a wild show. It's a very wild show.
It's one that if you're into that, go ahead and watch it.
If you're into that, please stop watching our show. I'm just kidding. You can watch whatever you want.
Degenerate's welcome.
Degenerate's welcome.
Some of the clips that I've seen, it's like so wrong that it's funny. Now it hasn't like,
yeah, it's like ridiculous.
Yeah, like it catches your attention, but it's not one that I would sit there and watch. Because I feel like if anybody walked into my living room or into my room and saw me watching that, I would have no excuse. I would just have to move out of the country.
Yeah, you can't. There's no excuse for watching this show.
This is probably one that we would probably advise you not to watch around family.
But we are advising you to check it out.
Yeah,
you should check it out. This show's pretty crazy.
At least
pretty
the first episode so you can see like what we're talking about.
Yeah,
man. I'm sure some of you have seen clips of it.
Should not be allowed within 500 feet of any animal shelter.
Yeah, this one's on high dive too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can say about it, really. It's weird, but it catches your attention because you're just like, who would be into this? Now, yeah, I don't know. Give it a watch if it caught your attention. It's not one I would really recommend, but I just wanted to bring up because I thought it was pretty wild not to bring up. It's probably one of the most wild animes I've seen.
I don't think this is as crazy as something as like Interspecies Reviewers or like Redo of Healer.
I haven't seen those.
It's around the same ballpark.
Really?
It's just wrong for different reasons.
Yeah. It's crazy that something like this would show up on high dive.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I mean, there's ecchi animes everywhere, right? They have some on Crunchyroll, no?
You just haven't gone to that corner of high dive.
Oh. Oh, so it's like, is it known for having ecchi or what?
Well, let me put it like this. You used to have a Funimation account, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Funimation used to always get these types of shows. These super, like, out-of-pocket, ecchi as fuck. Like, all these, like, bro-con, sis-con shows, Funimation used to get them. And then they would dub them. if you go through Crunchyroll, you can still find a bunch of shows like this. Like, do you remember when I was telling you guys that I checked out this show called Oni-Ai?
No, you'd have to remind me.
Wild fucking show. Yeah, but now that, you know, they've had this merger, and now that, you know, Sony is, like, has all the eyeballs in North America, I feel like they're kind of, like, maybe probably trying to stay away from shows like that.
Makes sense.
They probably wouldn't want them. And if you want to have an anime successful here in the West, and you can't make it on Crunchyroll, your best bet is probably going to have to be High Dive.
Because...
nothing against Netflix, but Netflix is a dying streaming platform.
Especially with their whole password sharing thing.
Oh, no, they gave up on that.
I know they did, but you think of that? I don't know. Have they officially given up on that?
Yeah, they gave up on it.
Nice. Hey, Sometimes building a company works. But yeah, this one's out of pocket. Watch it if you, you know, if it caught your attention. If we, I don't know if any of you heard of it.
Yeah, you don't have to follow the 1 hour rule on this one.
Yeah.
I think 15 minutes is enough.
Yeah. Just watch the first episode. It's pretty out of pocket.
Yeah. Okay. From enough from bestiality, onto our last rom-com we're going to talk about. This is by far the most improved anime of the year for me.
Mm.
Bar none, the most improved anime of the year. Nagatoro Season 2.
I watched the first couple of episodes.
I did not like Nagatoro at all. Season 1. Why did I watch all of Season 1? No clue. Beats me. I don't remember why I watched all of Season 1.
Are you sure you didn't like it?
But Season 2? So much more enjoyable. Because for one... Senpai, he finally grew a backbone.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. He's standing on his ground. And Nagatoro is not as annoying.
Yeah.
Incredible enough that I'm saying that. I found it very much enjoyable. Their relationship actually seems a little bit realistic now. It doesn't seem like master and slave anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing that bothered me the most.
Yeah.
I kind of hate people like that.
Yeah, like, she was just so annoying, like, unnecessarily mean all the time, like, to the point where he would constantly be crying.
Yeah.
Like, literally crying, like, almost every episode. And now, I mean, she still teases him, but it's, like, teasing. She's not being mean just to be a fucking asshole anymore.
Yeah.
And now she, like, genuinely cares about... There's more scenes now of her caring about him...
Than teasing them,
and I'm like, fuck, like... I get it. I see the vision though. You have to put up with a fucking 12 episodes of bullshit to get here. Makes it worthwhile. Nagatoro Season 2, much more enjoyable. The production quality didn't get better or anything like that.
Was it at least the same as first season?
Yeah. It keeps the same quality, but I don't know. It just like, it went from annoying to like, it's actually charming now. Like,
yeah.
I actually find the show a little bit charming now. They've introduced a couple new characters that have honestly improved the show, in my opinion. Improved the relationship, because usually in rom-coms, when you introduce a brand new character like halfway through the series, they're usually like a love rival.
Yeah.
Or they're usually there to like cause conflict or like jealousy or misunderstandings. And all the new characters in Nagatoro, they like pushing them together instead.
Oh, wow.
They're doing the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. To the point where like they just last week, they introduced a new character that's gonna be joining the art club,
mm-hmm.
and she's literally pushing them towards her. He's like, hey, you know, you gotta. And I'm like, oh my god, like where was this season one?
Yeah.
Yeah. By far the most improved anime.
I gotta check it out then. Because I know one of the things that really bothered me was the bullying. Like, I felt like it wasn't even teasing. I feel like
no, it was straight out
bullying. Like, it wasn't even enjoyable. I was just like, dude. Ugh.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. The Japanese voice actress for Nagatoro is really good at her job, because I found it really annoying.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Uzaki-chan's voice actress. Senpai! Oh god.
I feel like the English one for Uzaki-chan does it justice too.
Yeah,
it's
so annoying too?
Yeah, very, very annoying.
Oh, something I didn't bring up. Fuck, sorry for backtracking all the way. About Tomo-chan?
Mm-hmm.
You know the voice actress of Carol?
Oh yeah.
She does both the English and Japanese.
Yeah.
That's so badass.
Yeah,
bro.
It is, yeah.
When I found that out, I'm like, that is sick. Because you know how I told you, I was like, wow, like, I really like that for like Carol's mom. They got. The
yeah,
voice actress
was
an English accent.
So I watched it in English, well, in dub and sub, and you're right that they used for Carol's mom is very broken Japanese.
Actually, sounds like.
Like someone is actually like an English speaker is really trying to speak Japanese, and it was like with a really like thick accent, you know, like it wasn't like fluid. It was just like very like broken, and I found that very interesting.
Yep.
And then, yeah, they gave her a British accent, right?
Yeah, and then I've seen clips of of Carol's a voice actress.
Uh-huh.
When she's in the studio, like, doing the lines, she'll do the lines in Japanese first, and then immediately after, she'll do the same lines in English.
Yeah.
And it's so cool seeing the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's badass.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
And then, I don't know if I told you, but Tomo, like, Tomo,
uh-huh.
the character Tomo, she's voiced by my favorite voice actress.
Really?
Rei Takahashi. She's the voice actress of Emilia and Megumin. You couldn't tell.
I couldn't tell.
Nope.
I couldn't
tell.
It's
incredible. She has... I didn't know she had that range. I didn't know she could do a deep voice.
Yeah, it was,
yeah.
Damn, for real?
Yeah.
Megumin and Emilia?
If you go through, her resume,
mm-hmm.
almost all the characters that she's done are, like, soft voice, like Emilia
yeah.
and Megumin. So, when I found out...
That she did it, it is.
Well, I found out that she was going to be in the show. I thought she was going to be the voice actress of Carol.
Oh, really?
But it ended up being Tomo. It was such a cool little thing. Yeah, but sorry for backtracking all the way to Tomo. yeah, Nagatoro, man. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job, man.
I actually, I started watching the first season again in English. And I feel like it's a little bit less annoying.
Nagatoro?
Yeah, like... She's not... It doesn't seem so aggressive as in, like, Japanese. She did a really good job, but I feel like I think I might enjoy it in English better. I don't know, that's just me, though.
Do they say sup?
Sup?
Yeah, like, what type of language do they use?
I'm not sure, I can't remember. I think it's just... Yeah, it might be, like, stuff like that. Like, kind of, like, trying to be hip, like, hip, cool.
Yeah, because, like, I know, the main complaint that I've seen from Nagatoro is the subtitles.
Mm.
The subs they use.
Yeah.
Like, they're complaining about Crunchyroll's fucking up the subs for Nagatoro. Because if you watch Nagatoro in sub, you'll notice that they'll say stuff like sus. Like dork and things like that.
Yeah.
People are complaining like, oh, like, nobody talks like that. Like
it
you
seems
guys are,
really cartoonish.
Yeah, they're like, you guys are like butchering the, like, the subtitles, like,
yeah.
the translations.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, it doesn't bother me. Like, it doesn't fucking matter.
You know, this is kind of out of topic, but there was one, I don't know if it was true though, but I think it was World Egg Priority or
Wonder Egg Priority.
Yeah, that one where they use, like, no cap and and stuff like that. I was like,
but, like, it's dumb because, like, even if they do, because, like, they're going to localize it, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a Western audience. Teenagers like that talk like that. Like, teenagers, they actually talk, oh, I say no cap.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I find it stupid when people complain about, you know, like, oh, they don't say that. That's not even in the Japanese language, right? It's like, yeah, but you also got to realize that. They're using Japanese slang that doesn't exist here in the U.S.
Yeah.
So there has to be, like, something.
It's like
they
a
can't
translation.
Just, yeah, like, they can't literally translate the Japanese slang. It's like kuso, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Japanese, like, instead of putting LOL, LMAO, they put, like, WWWW.
Oh, yeah.
And it's literally, like, or just the word kusa.
Mm-hmm.
Like the kanji for kusa, which literally means grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they'll say grass instead of, like, LMAO is because of the www, which is supposed to stand for laughing.
Yeah.
And if you put www together, it looks like grass.
Yeah.
So,
oh.
And, like, that's, like, three levels of explanation
yeah.
to try to translate that. Like, no. Like, just fucking put laughing my ass off.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's a dumb thing to complain about, but that's just me.
Alright then. We're kind of moving away from
rom-coms.
And we're gonna jump into sports. Blue Lock is also a part of the winter, because I think they're a part of the fall, right? They had two cores. I really liked it. I still feel like Awashi's my favorite sports anime.
Yeah, this is the second best soccer.
But this
manga.
One, yeah, this one's very entertaining. Like, I know they have their god moments and stuff like that, which I don't really like, but they do it kind of better than other sports animes. Like, if I had to, like, pick a sports anime that had like their god features, this one definitely beats all of them. And I'm more of a basketball player. Kuroko's basketball, I don't know. Maybe it's because like I don't play soccer, so I don't see how
unrealistic.
Unrealistic it is. I think it's very entertaining, and I like the sound effects. I think I really like it when they go kind of in their ego mode. It's very cool. Like, I've enjoyed it.
I like it too. I like how hype it is.
Yeah.
Very fucking hype.
Very hype.
I don't think it's that unrealistic, honestly.
Really?
Not at all. Most of the things that I've seen in Blue Lock are shit that I can do in real life, so I don't think it's unrealistic.
Damn, alright.
But like that one thing, but there are like some insanely skilled things like 2 episodes ago, Nagi, he gets a ball and he pretends to shoot it,
uh-huh.
but then he just like taps it and then he turns around and he shoots it again. Like he fake shots it, but he
uh-huh.
actually touches it and then what's his face like goes sliding.
I don't know
if you remember what scene I'm talking about.
It would be very hard. I can't remember. I think I sort of remember. He kind of tricks him.
You saw this week the last episode of Blue Lock?
It's when... Remind me. I think I have.
Literally, this last episode of Blue Lock.
Yeah, I did.
You know how in the beginning of the episode, What's-Her-Face is like looking at the review? She's like, oh my god! And then Eagle's
Ooh.
Like, oh, that's how regular you are, like...
Yeah,
you're
like
an average woman.
Yeah,
that play that she's going crazy about
uh-huh.
that Nagi does.
Yeah,
like that's not normal. Like that is like crazy. Like I probably wouldn't be able to do that, recreate that if I tried it 100 times.
Yeah,
that was like really insane. But that's like very few scenes like that.
Yeah,
like all those like all those plays where like Baro when he goes into his king mode or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Or his devour mode, I mean. And then he just, like, starts dribbling through people.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, like, that's realistic. Like, you see people do that at your local park.
Okay.
But the Kuroko thing, like, shooting from full court, like, that's not normal. Like, that is just not normal.
Yeah. That's kind of impossible.
But up to this point in the anime in Blue Lock, none of the shit they do is, like, impossible. Like, I haven't seen anything they've done that is impossible. Like most of like the shit like or even like Isagi's, like the way Isagi reads defenders and he goes like behind them,
mm-hmm.
like that's a pretty normal thing.
Yeah.
Like that's a normal thing in soccer. That's what I don't like about Blue Lock. Because Blue Lock is super hype, but I feel like they're hyping up like the most
basic stuff.
Not the most basic stuff, but like these are the best players in Japan.
Yeah.
Like you expect them to be able to do this type of thing.
What about the whole Nagi thing? Like, the way he kind of, like, deflects.
Like, you know his first touch?
Yeah. Because he's, like, all...
Well, some of the shit he does is, like... Because Nagi is, like, an unparalleled talent in
yeah.
the show.
Uh-huh.
So some of the shit Nagi does is, like, really fucking impressive. But the reason... But what makes the shit that Nagi does impressive is the fact that he's doing all that shit off the fly. Like, he's
yeah.
never seen this shit done before. And he's just
it's
coming
just...
up with it on the spot. That's what makes it impressive and incredible.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, like... I feel like a lot of the shit that I see in Blue Lock, like, I can do. Like, my friends can do. Like,
yeah.
I've seen people do
it
in
do
real
that.
Life. But it's just the fact that, like, he's never seen it before. And, like, this is all shit he does instinctually. That's, like, someone who's never played or watched basketball in their life, and yet all of a sudden they have handles like Kyrie.
Yeah.
Like, this is their first time dribbling the ball, and all of a sudden they can do all these handles. That's what Nagi is.
Oh, gotcha.
That's
like
what
like
makes
a
it...
born player.
Yeah, that's what makes it, like, super impressive.
Okay. I was over here thinking that they had, like, God... complexes
nah, it's just
like
a
that.
It's just a nice
okay.
visuals and
it's
the lights
a, yeah okay
which is why I like Awashi more because it's more realistic because what people hype up in Awashi isn't like flashy individual plays. It's like oh wow, you know, like the way teams react to tactics and things like that.
Oh,
like
oh yeah
I don't know maybe I'm just hating on Blue Lock.
It's an entertaining one. I really enjoyed it. But like I said, like Awashi for me is still the best sports anime. But I have, this one's a close second.
I don't know, it's just, the hype is fucking incredible. Yeah. It's like Haikyuu, like, in Haikyuu, all the shit they do in Haikyuu, normal people can do that for the most part. Like, I shouldn't say normal people. Skilled players in real life can do the shit that they do in Haikyuu.
Uh-huh.
Like, all those crazy spikes, the saves, all that shit. Like, you can see it in real life.
Well, it would make sense that all of these players can do it too, because, I mean, they're the top of the top, right?
Yeah.
They're the top strikers.
They are supposed to be the top, what, 100?
I think so. No, I think,
I think it was more already. At first. Yeah.
Well, I know, because originally it was a trick. Like, Ego just, like, gave them false numbers or, like, put them higher up
to make them
think that they were, like, less, like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But Blue Lock's is a hype. It's a hype. It's the voice acting. It's the visuals.
The visuals play a big one.
Yeah. Like, the puzzle pieces every time you start... you know, you start seeing the puzzle pieces in the air. Like, shit!
When is this guy gonna cook up?
And then, like, I don't know. And it's also, like, the shit-talking.
Yeah.
That raises it, too, because that's an aspect that... Well, I mean, you're an athlete too. You play basketball.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, there's shit talking that's real. You don't hear it or see it on the television. Like, there's constantly shit talking in sports all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, fucking Isagi calling you a donkey in the middle of the game. And then be like, oh my god, you're so good, Baro. Thank you. You made me such a better player. Like, immediately after.
I know. You're like, out of his ego mode. He's the sweetest, kindest person ever, but when he's in the mood. The mode? In the zone. Yeah. He'll shit talk for sure.
Yeah, Vlock. Super hype. It's growing on me.
Yeah.
Same. I'm starting to like it a lot more.
Yeah. I was strictly watching it in dub, but I couldn't wait, so I just watched it in sub. I couldn't hold off. I just had to watch more. Pretty good. I like it.
Yeah.
The characters are all likable too. I don't think there's one I hate. Or I don't like.
They are. Alright. Few more. We got three more anime, I bet, though? Three more. Alright. Let's try to wrap it up. Actually, why don't we go to yours next?
Because it's talking about mine?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the last one that I'm going to bring up is Danmachi. I know you haven't really seen the newest. I think it's the second part of season... What is it? Four?
Season
five?
Four.
I actually quite enjoyed this one because we get a little bit of a backstory into Ryu's, like how it was for her and her familia back in the day. Because you know how, like...
I don't know where you go.
Oh,
no, you can go ahead. I'm telling you, I've only seen the first two seasons of Danmachi. But again, thanks to YouTube, I have seen a lot of season three and season four.
Okay.
So you can go for it.
Well, her familia gets, like, wiped out.
Yeah.
Because of the beast that's in the lower levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of get a little bit of backstory into, like, how it was for her back then, which was pretty interesting because, like, I've always wondered, like, okay, well, like, are we throughout the whole series, like, we kind of get, like, little glimpse of it, like, okay, like, she was a part of a family, but now she's not. So that was pretty interesting. Now... They're in a really tough situation because they find themselves in, like, way, way, like, lower levels. I think it would be lower levels, right?
Yeah.
They're
deep.
Wait, are they climbing up or are they going down?
Now they're going back up.
Okay, yeah. They fall and it's just...
If I remember right, they go down, they fight that guy who wiped out her familia.
Yeah.
And then now it's just them two by themselves and they're trying to make it back.
Yeah, they're trying to make it back up.
I haven't seen season four, but I'm up to date.
I'm not caught up all the way, but it's really, really good. Because they're like, at the beginning, they're like really injured because they were fighting that monster wiped out like her familia. Like, can you imagine? Like, just it was just like a stroke of luck that they survived.
She got her get back.
Yeah. And I would definitely recommend watching it. The only thing is that it is on High Dive, and so that's why I haven't caught up yet, because, yeah, it's just like, if it's not downloaded onto my TV like Crunchyroll is, it's going to take me a bit of catch up, but I've been really liking it. I really enjoy this anime. I honestly, like, this one might be one of my top 10, but that's just, you know, my bias. Like, I just really enjoyed it.
I don't blame you. I really enjoyed Danmachi. Yeah. Way more than I ever thought I was going to. just off the title alone, I was always like,
"That's a really long one."
Is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon? Like, yeah. I'm like, this probably just gonna be like an etchy little harem, whatever,
yeah.
Shallow. it's a lot. Danmachi is a lot deeper.
There's a harem in there. There's a harem in there, but yeah, it just goes more into just that.
Hey man, I ain't want to complain about a harem enemy. Yeah, no, I'm excited because like I said, I've seen it via clips on YouTube, and they're fucked up, dude. Like they're all bloody and ripped up, like all this.
Yeah, it's very like it's yeah, because you're like damn, like they're so close to just like dying. That it's like damn, how are they gonna live through this? And each episode, you're just like, damn, okay, where's it going after this?
I mean, I'm excited. I don't know. Maybe if a certain co-host of mine ends up getting a high dive account, I might borrow that.
I just might pull the trigger, man, because I'm getting tired of borrowing someone else's account.
All right. We can't get into too much detail about Danmachi because I'm not caught up to it.
Mm-hmm.
But how about we talk about what I think, and I feel like most people consider to be anime of the season.
Let's hear it.
That's Vinland Saga Season 2.
Yeah.
It's one of my top series of all time.
Really, really good.
Incredible.
I binge watched the first season and I'm currently on the second one and it's really good. I have a little bit of complaints that I hate, but I mean, it's really, really good.
Go for it.
Well, I'm going to be talking primarily of the first season because I'm still on the second season, but I didn't like how obsessed Thorfinn was about seeking revenge. Yeah, on his dad. Like, his dad, like, was teaching him, like, you know, what a true warrior should be. And he kind of just, like, threw it out the window. I feel like he was just, like, he kind of abandoned his mom and sister. Like, I understand. Like, I totally get it. Like, honestly, if someone, you know, were to do the same, I would probably want to do the same. But I feel like he kind of threw it all away because, I mean, even after the first season, he ends up being a slave. Now, it's just like, it's kind of like he just threw his life away.
Yeah. No, you're precisely right. I don't think he abandoned his mom or sister, though. I don't think he had a choice.
Really?
Because if he wouldn't have gone with Askeladd, he probably would have died within like a couple of days.
You think so? But didn't
I don't think he could have sailed back on his own.
No, but he was with a group of people. His whole village was there.
No,
yeah.
when his dad dies, no.
Yeah, he gets killed by Escalor's.
By Escalor, yeah.
Yeah, but they were traveling together. Even the old man went back and told the mom and sister that Thor's had died. So the village made it back, but he stayed with Escalor. He snuck onto their ship and was like, "Oh, I'm gonna kill you."
No. What?
You don't remember?
From what I remember, they get what's it called? Ambushed?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Thorfinn snuck onto his dad's boat.
Yeah.
So then, but when Thor's dies, he's by himself.
No, because Thor's and Escalor, is that his name?
Escalad.
They had a duel. They said that if I win, you let the people go. If you win, then, you know, what you could keep us as slaves.
Might be.
And then
he won,
but he still killed him. Even though, I mean, there was a bounty on him. But that old man, he was there.
Yeah, his grandpa.
It's his grandpa?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I might have missed that.
I think that's
But I know he's, like, looking for Thorfinn. And he's part of the village.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there when Thor's died. So that's why, damn. If you're right, I might have missed something then.
Fuck, I might look like a fake-ass fan right now. I'm not gonna lie.
I could have swore that they let the whole village go, because I know all the men traveled with Thor's to fight, but I mean, Thor's was the only one that fought. But he didn't kill anybody, but...
Might be. It's been a while. I haven't seen the first episode or read the first chapter in a minute. In preparation for season 2, I didn't... Normally when a season 2 or something comes out, for a show that hasn't aired in a few years.
Yeah.
I'll go back and I'll rewatch it.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't. I didn't do that for,
oh, this
for Vinland Saga because I reread the manga from where season 2 started.
Gotcha.
So from when Askeladd dies, from that point on, I reread the manga.
Gotcha.
To where it's currently at right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't bother to go back and.
Oh, okay.
Fuck. I might be completely wrong and look like such a fake fan right now.
I might be wrong, dude. Also, another thing I didn't like is how Thorfinn was kind of like the backbone of Escalade's crew. He was doing all the stuff that kind of made it easier for him to get by. I was like, this dude is helping him out. That's also one thing I didn't like because, like, in his path to seek revenge, he also made this dude's life easier.
That is true.
And
that is true.
That was like kind of, if I were him, I would try to make his life more like annoying.
Yeah, but you also gotta take into consideration, like, Thorfinn is only alive on a whim.
Because
if Askeladd really wanted to, or if any of them really wanted to, he would kill him. So he has to kind of like, how should I say it? Not be useless, right?
Gotcha,
like,
yeah.
He has to bring some type of value to Askeladd's
mercenary
group.
To stay around, right?
To stay around. At the same time, like, Thorfinn's whole shit is that he really wants to kill Askeladd, so he needs to get stronger.
Do you think the having Askeladd get killed by the prince was like kind of? I kind of found that annoying because like. He did all that, and he stayed and did all that for nothing because he didn't even get to kill him at the end. And I feel like that was... That kind of pissed me off for Thorfinn. Like, I was frustrated for him because I was like, damn, this dude, like, spent... What was it, like, 10 years or something like that following Escalad just for someone else to kill him?
Oh. Well, that...
I think I was like...
That's the whole theme of the show, though.
Yeah?
The whole... It's like you said, you know how you said, like, he... Because that's the main complaint about season 2.
Yeah.
Everyone's complaining that it's boring now, that they miss when, like, Thorfinn was, like, a killer and all this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, from the very beginning, like you said, like, his dad was trying to, like, instill that mindset, like, you know, violence is wrong. Like, violence isn't the answer.
Yeah.
And then due to his death, you know... He goes on this whole revenge thing. Askeladd dying to someone else's hands and Thorfinn not being able to get his revenge is kind of like the whole point of Vinland Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Because violence isn't the answer and Thorfinn had to figure that out one way or another. Because if Thorfinn would kill Askeladd, then it would justify his whole plight for revenge.
Yeah.
It would justify it because then it'd be like, yeah, I got my revenge. I got what I wanted. But... I mean, he doesn't get his revenge, and then he ends up feeling empty for the rest of his fucking life, which is where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it's just...
It's really, really good. Like
currently, Thorfinn is going through PTSD and the whole emptiness and stuff like that. Like, he became a slave, like you said, right? Because his life has no meaning.
Yeah.
Literally, this last episode... Of Vinland Saga, episode 9, I think. Thorfinn is trying to find meaning in his life because he says he's empty. Because revenge left him empty.
Yeah. Well, he did.
Well, he didn't get his revenge, but...
I really wonder how things would have been if he did get his revenge.
I think he would still feel
the same?
I think so. I think exactly the same. I think he would feel even worse.
Think so.
I think he would feel worse because there'd be nothing left because then...
That was his whole life purpose.
what episode are you on, season 2?
The third one, I think.
Third one?
Yeah.
It might be kind of a minor spoiler for you.
No, go for it.
But it's like, by the time Askeladd dies, Thorfinn doesn't hate him anymore.
Really?
No.
He sees
him as a father figure.
That's what I was kind of thinking, but I was like, the dude still wants to kill him, though, so I don't know.
I don't think Askeladd ever saw Thorfinn as anything other than a son figure.
Yeah. I can see that too. Especially because, like, he kind of, like, says... His last dying words were for him, no? Thorfinn?
Yeah, they were for Thorfinn.
Yeah.
He told Thorfinn to become a true warrior. To find out what it means
what
to be
a true warrior.
Warrior.
What does he know?
What does Astralad know?
That guy just broke the duel. The sword loser. I'm just kidding. But,
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Okay.
You're right. Fog, I'm such a fake fan.
Fan. No, but I mean,
yeah,
I just watched it, so, like,
yeah.
It's fresh in my mind, you know?
Yeah, you're right. But, yeah, like, the whole theme of a Vinland Saga is to, like, try to find out, like...
What's that place that they're looking for, or that Thoris was looking for?
Vinland.
Oh, there you go. It's in
the
name.
So what Vinland is a real place.
Uh-huh.
It's not like Valhalla.
Oh, okay.
No disrespect to all my Norse, to all my Vikings out there, but like...
We're talking about the anime, okay?
But like, yeah, Vinland is Canada. It's like southern Canada.
Oh,
like
I thought it was kind of like... I thought it was a metaphor or something like... Oh, like...
No,
it's a place.
It's a real place.
It's kind of... What's that one thing where it's like inner peace or...
Yeah.
Something like that. I thought that's what it was, but...
And Vinland is a real
place.
It's
a real place.
It's located in Canada. But people don't know if it exists because, like you said, way back in the ages of Vikings, they think the Earth is flat. They might fall off the sea.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that there's a whole other continent.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like... I want to say, like 300 miles away?
I think so.
Because they're in...
Iceland.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So... That in the beginning, you know, that's what Thoris wants. He wants to go to Vinland, right? He wants a better life for his people. But then that all gets sidetracked after he dies, and then Thorfinn goes on his quest for revenge.
Yeah.
And then Thorfinn doesn't get his revenge. He becomes a killer. He experiences war. He goes all through all this shit. It breaks him as a person. He's an empty husk now, and then now he has to find meaning in his life because he realizes now that revenge was never the answer. Violence isn't the answer. It's crazy because people are hating on season 2 so bad because they're calling it boring.
I think it's they're comparing it to the first season where there's like a lot of action.
That is
going
what
on.
They're comparing it to.
And I don't know.
It's just that people don't have any media literacy.
Yeah.
They don't have media literacy.
People just go there for the fights and,
it's like,
and the action and don't really pay attention to, like...
It's like people don't pay attention. They're not paying... That is literally people who are just not paying attention to the story.
Yeah.
It's like...
Just there to
like
watch
all,
action.
Yeah. All the words in the anime go through one ear and go out the other, and then they're just paying attention to the fights.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but like... Literally, the whole... Like, from like you said, from the very beginning, we're told that violence isn't the answer. And now, in season 2, where Thorfinn is finally like, you know what? Kind of spitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good. Like, I for sure binge-watched the first season, and then I'm currently watching the second season. I need to catch up, but...
This ain't no meathead shonen.
Yep. It's really good. It's really good. I enjoyed it.
I look forward to it every fucking Monday. The manga is incredible as well. The manga probably has one of the single most like impactful panels I've ever read or anything.
Interesting.
Because it's not really much of a spoiler if I tell you guys, because anyone who's seen episode 9 knows. That all of the rest of Vinland Saga from this farm arc onwards is just isn't just Thorfinn eventually going to Vinland Saga. I'm sorry, that's not a spoiler. You know,
yeah,
it's called Vinland Saga.
Yeah.
They're eventually going to get to Vinland, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not at that point yet. That idea isn't even in Thorfinn's head, but. The main theme and the main journey of Thorfinn's character is to forgive himself.
Mm.
To forgive himself for all the evil and...
That he's done?
All the shit that he's done, all the people he's killed, right? And that starts in this arc.
Yeah.
And we're currently like at... We're like very, very, very far ahead.
Yeah.
Thorfinn is, I think, maybe like 18 right now in the show.
in the manga right now, he's like 28 and he still hasn't forgiven himself.
Oh, shit.
Like, he's just now barely starting to forgive himself. And there's one scene in the manga where, like, Thorfinn kind of gets, he doesn't forgive himself, but he gets like some validation for all his effort, all the effort, all the things he's done, because Thorfinn becomes a pacifist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you're not enjoying season 2, I'm sorry, bro. Thorfinn literally becomes a pacifist. He just, like, renounced violence.
Oh, wow.
In episode 9 of season 2, like, he just renounced violence. Like, he literally becomes a pacifist. So, really, I'm sorry, bro.
if you're watching for the action...
I mean, there's still going to be action. There's still going to be fights, because you got other characters who aren't pacifists.
But maybe not that much compared to last
season. It's not going to be a focus.
Mm.
From now on, at no point...
It's good that you tell me that, because, like, I was going into the season thinking, okay, like, when is the action going to start?
There will be action. There will be moments and scenes of action. There will be battles.
It's good to be aware of that than to just expect something, because, like, okay, well, now I got to watch it with a different mindset.
Because
a lot of people, I'm sure why they hate it is because, like, they're not seeing as much action as the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going into the second season, like, most people, I'm pretty sure that maybe people that didn't read the manga, so they don't know what's coming up ahead, because I know me just watching anime, I kind of, if the first season it's one way, I kind of expect it to go the same way, or at least similar, so it's good that you brought it up to me, because then now I can look at it differently, and I'll be like, okay, this, that.
Yeah, nah, it's, Vinland Saga is all about accepting his past and trying to end violence. The whole idea behind Vinland, the land of Vinland, is a country without war, without slavery, without
so
violence.
People can live in peace.
That is what, from this point on, Thorfinn is going to drive towards.
Gotcha.
So I'm sorry, man. If you're here for warmongering, this is a wrong show for you, bro.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, man. I mean,
it's really good.
Just, and it only gets better. Vinland Saga only gets better.
Nice.
Yeah, man. I don't think this is one of the worst seasons in years.
Vinland Saga's carried it for you.
Although
I'm enjoying it, like. It's a pretty good season for me. Like, it's not boring, like others might say, but...
Yeah. That being said, though, next season, woof! Watch Oshinoko. It's getting an hour-long special for the first episode. It is my early pick for anime of the year.
Wow.
That's how confident in it I am.
Really?
My early pick for anime of the year. I don't care what else comes out this season. Although... I might eat those words, but hey, man, I'm confident. Oshinoko,
see how it goes.
Aka Akasaka, the author behind Kaguya-sama, is the author behind Oshinoko. Incredible. Be ready for it. Be fucking ready for it. It's gonna blow your expectations. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, you're bringing my expectations too high, bro.
Hey, man, I gotta do it.
If it don't reach,
gotta set it.
I'm gonna be the one to tell you one of these episodes.
All right, but yeah, I mean, that's it for us for this episode. Finally got to anime. Finally got back to talking anime.
We're talking about the seasonal animes. It's good that we brought it up because it's close to the end. Nine episodes in, it's like 2-3 weeks, and then the new season starts. So it's good that I feel like it's a good time to bring it up, especially because it's already progressed, and we could talk about it a little bit more. So
yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, new location this time. Next episode, we might be here, or we might be back in the studio, but...
Or who knows, maybe we'll be somewhere else.
Might be somewhere else. I might be recording this from a prison cell, you don't know. Never know where life might take us.
That's
it for this episode, everyone. We'll see you guys soon.
Peace.